Today's show in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Aleph. We'll begin by the new Mishnah, about 10 lines from the top. Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph. We're learning today, Le'ilui Nishmas Sadie Berner. That's Lenny Berner's sister, Nebuch. Lenny is an Avelus right now from the loss of his brother. Hashem should comfort him and his entire family. We're also continuing to learn, of course, for the safety of all the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael, the Kochas HaBitachon, all the EMTs, all those people that are putting their lives on the line for us to save us, protect us in Eretz Yisrael, to bring back the hostages safely, in good health, b'mheira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be shomer them. And the Ezes Hashem, all those in need of refuah shleima should have a refuah shleima b'mheira, and all those that never are in need of nechama should be menucham from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we begin the brand new Mishnah, Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top. The Mishnah begins, Shor Shenogach Eso Odom, for mace. If an ox gores a person, and then that person Nebuch passes away, so if it's a Shor Muad, Mishalim Kofer, so then you have to pay the Kofer. The evaluation, which we discussed in the previous shiurim, do we go by the evaluation of the Mazik, or do we go by the evaluation of the Nizak? We had that Machlokas previously. Here the Mishnah tells us, there is this din that the Torah tells us, im kofer yushasalav, that you have to go and pay a kofer. We had a machlokas previously as well. Is this kofer considered kofer kufra? Is it considered an atonement? Or is it considered kofer mamona? Is it considered a compensation for the nebuch, the person that was killed? And it's a financial penalty that you pay to the family, the yorshim of the person nebuch that died. So if it's a shor muad, you pay this kofer. However, if it was a shor tam, the tam potmen a kofer, there is no din of kofer. Of course, there's a din of chatzi nedzek migufa, which we, of course, were learning about tremendously in the beginning of this mesechta, but there is no din of kofer from a tam that goes and kills a person. And both of them, v'zeh chayov misa, both of them, hashor yisokel. So in both of these situations, the shor is put to death. The obvious question that the Gemara will have to address is, how do you ever become, if you a tam, and you killed somebody, you should be killed right away. How do you ever gore three times and become a shor muad? And the Gemara will ask this question. It's an obvious question, and the Gemara will give several terutzim. Now, so the bottom line is that any animal that goes and kills, it's not only a shor, this then applies to other animals as well. Any animal that goes and kills a person, so that animal is put to death. Hashor yisokel. That is the bottom line. Mishnah continues, this din applies as well. V'chein bevein, v'chein bevas. This din applies even if the person that is killed is a young child. Rachmona Litzlan, if they're below the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah, this din of kofar still applies. A shor muad would have to be mishalim kofar. Now, why would you think not? So the Muki Yosef brings down, you might have thought that maybe in this situation, since they're not yet chayiv b'mitzvos, this child is below the age of Bar or Bas Mitzvah, so maybe you would think in that situation the kofar doesn't apply. Therefore, the Mishnah has to tell us, no, the same din applies for a young child, Rachmona Litzlan, that's killed by an animal, so the bain or the bas that is killed, so the kofar applies as well in this situation. Mishnah continues and tells us that if the negicha occurs to an eved or an oma, an eved kinani or a shivcho kinanis, so that there is a similar but slightly different din, nagach eved oma, if the eved or the oma is killed by the ox, or again by any animal that you own, so no stain shloshim slom. Here there is a flat penalty of shloshim slom, 30 slom that you pay, regardless of the value of the eved, as the Mishnah tells us. Regardless of how much the eved is worth, it could be a really, really expensive eved, it could be worth 100 zuz, or it could be worth almost nothing. Notice the Mefarshim point out, and the ultimate Mefarshim he brings down, that it says at least the Dinar Echad. Implication being that if the person is worth nothing, let's say is Nebuch in the ICU, and an animal somehow gets in there and kills the person, he's on a respirator in the ICU, he's worth nothing on the open slave market, so then there is an opinion that says in that situation, if it's not worth at least a shava of a dinar, at least dinar echad, so then there would not be, in fact, a din of 30 sloim. However, Rishaya Pick disagrees, and he brings down that no, this din applies regardless. And he says, the proof is, it says an eved trefo or a mukeshchin is also going to get 30 slum, even though it's not worth this lita din or echad. In any event, there's a flat fee that you pay, rechmonos lan, if your animal goes and kills an eved or a shivcha kinanis. Okay, the Gemara starts off and asks the obvious question, after the shor kills somebody as a shor tam, so you have to go and hashor yisokel, you go and kill and put this shor to death, so then, muad hechem ish kachzla. How did you ever get to the point where it gored three times and is a muad? in regards to killing people. So Gemara is going to have several tirutzim. The first one is from Rabba. I'm a Rabba. He says, "Hark, my skin. You know what we're talking about over here? You go on Shamaduhu Lishlosha b'nei Adam." That it looked like the animal was going to kill three people. As Rashi says, "Shirotz acharein ze'acharzeh." The shore was running after three people. Ubaruchu miparnav, and they were able to escape. For Amdu Shem Lo Baruchu, and the courts estimated that if the person hadn't somehow escaped, Hayahargun, the Shor would have killed them. So therefore, it's considered a Muad in this situation for killing, even though it almost killed three times, even though it didn't actually kill three times. So that's how you wouldn't have put it to death after the first time because it didn't kill. You wouldn't put it to death after the second time or the third time. Again, we have a machlokas throughout this daf in the what is the right gears in Rashi. Rashi says, in the next Rashi, Shasi came Gimel B'nei Adam, Lefikach Lo Nisgal B'Shnayim HaRishonu, U'Kishenogach Shlishi Meisu Kulam. So now, in the next Rashi, we see that it's the third time that you do this, and we had this machlokes previously, as to whether it's after the two times, on the third time it becomes a Shor Muad, or after three times, on the fourth time it becomes a Shor Muad. In fact, the Magid Mishnah has the gears over here in Rashi, U'Kishenogach B'Rivi. And then even Tosus also brings this down. We'll leave this aside for right now. We'll just assume the standard that it gores after three times, it becomes a muad on the fourth time. In any event, the first teretz over here from Rabba is that it looked like it was going to kill people three times, but it didn't give the shor misa. You don't say Ashur Yisrael just because Amduhu, they estimated that it would have killed, but now it is considered a Muad after three such events. And now when it kills on the fourth time, so then it would have a shor Muad that went and killed, and it wasn't killed as a shor Tam. Okay, that's the answer, Rabba. Rav Ashi doesn't like this. Rav Ashi Amar, Umdina Lav Klumu. He says, what are you talking about? They estimated? We don't go by estimation. That doesn't make the animal into a Shor Muad for killing. So that is nothing. That's not the right teretz. Ella, Rav Ashi says, it's a Hoch Mayaskinim. You know, we're talking about Gigon Shasikain Lushlosh B'nei Adam. It put at risk three people. It put them into the hospital. It damaged them very badly, and ultimately all three of them died. Mesu Kulam, as we just read in the Rashi, they ultimately all died. So the first one was in the ICU, and we don't give the Shor Misa yet. The second one's in the ICU, we don't give the Shor Misa yet. Third one's in the ICU, don't give the Shor Misa yet. Oh, now it goes a fourth time, and the first three guys die. So now it's a Shor Muad, even though it never was a Shor Tam in regards to killing, because it didn't kill. At this point in time, they all died at the same time, so it became a Shamuad, and now we put it to death. So that's the teretz that Rav Ashi gives. Alternatively, Rav Zvid Omar, Kigon Shaharak, Shlosha Behemos, it killed three animals, and therefore we assume, according to Rav Zvid, that if it's goring animals and killing them, it's also considered a muad for other. So we don't put it to death for goring another animal, so that's why it was a tam, and it didn't get put to death. We don't say Ashur Yisrael if it kills another animal. However, it is considered already that it's likely to kill a human being. So they did this three times, so it's considered a Muad li'adam, and therefore now you can have Ashur Muad li'adam that is put to death, that wasn't put to death as Ashur Tam. More questions. It says, really? A Muad l'behema, heavy Muad li'adam? Really? Is that the same thing? If something is a Muad l'behema, Rashi says, this is a Lashon of Bismia. Do we say over here that if you're a Muad for a behema, you automatically become a Muad for another? No. That is not true. So the Gemara says, El Amar Rafshimi. Rafshimi says, no. Kigon Shaharak Shlosha of the Kochadim. It went and killed three of the Kochadim. So we don't see Hashar Yisokel in that situation. There is the penalty that you have the Shloshim Sloim, the 30 Shkalim. However, you don't put that Shor to death. So therefore, it is a Muad to go kill human beings here, but it didn't get put to death as a Tam. And only when it kills the Yid do we then go and say Hashar Yisokel. Now, Morris says, that's also not correct, because Umud Lovei Kochadim, Heavy Mud Yisrael, why are you assuming this? There's a different status over here. It went and killed Goyim. That doesn't mean that it necessarily is going to go and kill Yidden. And the understanding here possibly could be that Yidden have a special divine hashkacha, a divine protection that a Goy might not have. So you can't assume necessarily that the animal that is a Muad Lovei Kochadim is going to be a Muad Yisrael. That's reading this as a Lashon Bismi, as a question. Others have this, no, this is a statement. Umuad li'ovdei kochavim, heavy muad li'yisrael. And therefore, it is considered a muad li'yisrael, and therefore, it didn't get skila, shor yisokel, doesn't apply if you killed an eved, but it then would make it into a shor muad, and now as a shor muad, if it kills a yid, so then you would go and do skila. So some read this as a loshem bismia, and some read this as a definitive statement, and this is a good teretz according to those that read it as a definitive statement. Gemara gives us a different teretz. Now, if you have the word Ella, so that would imply that it was a Lashon Bismiah. So, Ella, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish gives the following teretz, Kigon Shaharak Shlosh Vayodim Trefa. It went and killed three people that were Trefa. So, Trefa is a person that is not expected to live a certain amount of time. Usually, it's going to die within the year period of time. And therefore, just like if you, Rechmon Lutzlan, if you kill a Trefa intentionally, you won't get Mises based in. You're a Rotzeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you. But based in doesn't give the din of Mises based into somebody who kills a trefa. That's Xeris HaKosav. And therefore, just like you don't give a person Mises, so Reish Lakish suggests that you don't go and give the animal skila. If it kills a trefa. So therefore, it killed a trefa three times, so it's a mu'at to go and kill, but it didn't get niskal from killing a trefa as a short time, and now it becomes a short mu'at, and therefore, you would in fact now give it Misa. Gemara says, really? Umur the trefa? Have you moved the shalem? So again, this is a Lashon Bismiah. Do we say that if you're killing trefas, a trefa is a person who's not going to put up much of a fight in the stomach, and therefore, do we say that if the shor is goring people that don't put up a fight, it's going to go and necessarily gore a person that puts up a fight? So you can't necessarily say that. So again, this is read as a Lashon Bismiah according to the simple understanding of the Gemara. Now, Gemara therefore says, El Amar Papa, we'll give you a Papa's teretz. The Kotal, the Arik Liagba. The short time went and killed somebody, but then it ran away. It was in the swamp, and they couldn't go and get it. So it was running wild. And therefore, it was declared to be a Niskal, but they couldn't do the Skila. It then gored again. The Kotal, the Arik Liagba. It came out of the swamp, and it went and killed again. And they couldn't catch it. So it killed three times. So it is considered a shor now mu'ad to kill people, but it hadn't been given skila because they weren't able to catch it. No, now they finally catch it after it's already a mu'ad, and it kills somebody else, Rechmon Litzlan. So now they go and give it skila. So that's how you have a shor that is a mu'ad, even though it should have been put to death when it was a tam. That's a good teretz. Gemara doesn't question this. Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika gives another teretz. Amar, he says, Kigon Shehuzamu Zomame Zomamim. And here's a little bit complicated, but it's not that complicated. So you have over here the first two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, that come along and say that this shor put someone to death. This shor killed a person. So it should be a short time that therefore gets Hashor Yisakel. However, Edom Zomim come along and say that Reuven and Shimon were not there on Tuesday to see this, but in fact they were with us in Chicago on Tuesday and couldn't have seen this. Oh, so the Torah tells us that we believe the second group. It's not Edom Achshishim Zezeh, this is Edom Zomim. So there's a special belief that's given to the second group of witnesses that said, no, you weren't with in New York on that day, you were with us in Chicago on that day. Okay, so Yaakov and Yitzchak, they come and testify that Reuven and Shimon couldn't have been there. Oh, so they don't give the shor skila. Then you have this shor going and killing again. Levi Yehuda come along and say, hey, we saw the shor. And again, Yaakov and Yitzchak come along and say, no, you weren't seeing that on Tuesday over here in New York. You were again with us in Chicago. So therefore, the second group is also considered now to be Edom Zomim, and they're not believed, so we don't put the shor to death. A third time it happens, the same exact thing, along come Yisachar Zvulun, and they say, we saw the shor kill, and again, Yankel and Yitzchak come along and say, no, you were with us in Chicago on that day, you couldn't have seen this happen. And then it turns out that Yankel and Yitzchak are lawyers. They're now saying, hey, how could you say you were with us in Chicago that day? You were with us in Pittsburgh on that day. So you couldn't have witnessed this. And therefore, now retroactively, it turns out that Reuven and Shimon were correct. And Levi and Yehuda were correct. And Yisachar Zvulun were correct. So now the shor actually was supposed to be put to death, but it wasn't put to death. So that's how it wasn't put to death as a shor tam. And now it is put to death as a shor mu'ad, if it goes and kills again. Or now that they capture it, they go put it to death after the first time, but then you wouldn't have the din that it's put to death as a shor mu'ad. Okay. Mara says, so Hanicha, this works out. This last teretz of Rav Acha, Brei Davika, with the Edom Zomim, says that works out great if you say that the purpose of the Edom is to come, Eliyude Torah Bo'inon. It's coming to go and designate the shor as a shor mu'ad, so then shop it. Oh, we now have the three sets of witnesses that designated as a shor mu'ad, and it is a shor mu'ad. Absolutely perfectly good. However, if you're telling us is for the purpose to go and warn the owner, hey, you have a shor mu'ad, so then Eliyude Gavra Bo'inon. So if it's now to teach the owner, you have to be careful about your shor. So he's just finding out all three at the same time. How could he have been careful about it? Neymar Amalei, he can go tell the people, say, listen, I just found out about all three episodes at the same time. That doesn't make it into shor mu'ad. I didn't have a chance to watch it. He can say, lo havi yadana, I did not know. So Gemara says, no. You know what we're dealing with over here? the witnesses say, hey, you were right there. What do you mean you don't know? Can go into Amre, call Emas de Kotel, Tore Gabe Havakoi, that every time your ox killed, you were right there. You were watching your ox. You're the owner, and you were there with your ox, and therefore you saw it killed three times. Oh, you're right. We didn't have the testimony at this point in time because each of those Edom were originally suspected to be Edom Zomimim, but in fact, they ultimately were really correct, honest witnesses. So therefore, you knew about this. You can't argue that you didn't know about it. Okay. One more teretz. Ravina Omar, you know what we're dealing with over here? That you could have a short time that didn't have a skila done to it, even though it killed. B'makirin es bal hashor, v'in makirin es hashor. We saw that Yankel's shor killed somebody, but we don't know which one of Yankel's shvarim killed. They were part of his flock. And we saw one of Yankel's, those were his five shvarim, and we see one goes and kills a person, but we don't know which one of those five shvarim went and killed. So in that situation, Yankel has a short time, but we don't know which one. And it does this three times, and therefore it now becomes a sharmuad in Yankel's possession. So one says, What's Yaakov supposed to do? My havalei levevai. He doesn't know which one did it. So Gemara says, no. Therefore, he knows that he has a dangerous shor in his flock. Mishum de amrile, we can say to him, Tura nachana islov bibakarcha, iboy loch, nature kule bakroch. You definitely have a dangerous shor in your flock. So therefore, you better go and watch your entire flock and make sure that it doesn't do damage. Oh, you don't do that? So now we see this shor went and killed. We have to assume maybe that was the shor that it killed previously. And therefore, this could be an example of a shor muad over here, even though we didn't kill it as a shor tam that killed another person. Okay, so we gave a whole bunch of terutzim. The Mefarshim pointed out there are other terutzim we could give as well. The bottom line is, the original question that we had, which was a good question, how could you have a shor become a muad for negicha and killing people? Why wasn't it killed as a short time? So we gave many possible different explanations or scenarios where that could occur. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, b'zev zeh chayav misav chule, whether it's a short time or whether it's a short muad, that makes a big difference in terms of the kofar. A tam doesn't pay kofar, and there's no concept of chatzi kofar, whereas a muad does pay kofar. But both of them, whether it's a tam or muad, they're put to death, a shor yisokel. Now, the Gemara tells us, Tanu Rabban, we learn the Braisa, Mimash Mishinema, the Pasuk tells us, Hashor Yisokel, Sokol Yisokel Hashor. You have to go and kill the Shor, so Eni Odeash Nevelhi, so obviously it's an Avela. You didn't shecht it, you stoned it. And therefore, why does the Pasuk have to tell me, V'lo Yechel Es Bisaro, right? Unavela Asur Bechila. Once you go and kill it, with non-shchita, with skila, so obviously it's an avela, and you're not allowed to eat it. So why does the pasuk continue? So koy skela shor, lo yechel es bisaro, ma tamud lomar, lo yechel es bisaro. Why is that needed? So the Braisa says, madlucha akosav, the Torah is teaching us, shim shechoto li achar shenigmar dino, the basin paskin, this is a shor niskal, and they say, go and do skila. So the owner says, hey, I'm going to lose the animal totally, I quickly run and go shech the animal. Oh, now at least I have kosher meat. You might have thought that that would be the case. Nevertheless, even though the owner shechted it before the skila, also bachila, you're not allowed to eat it because the Torah prohibits you from getting any hanor from it. So how do I know that? Maybe I'm only not allowed to go and eat it. However, maybe I could sell it for dog meat. I could go sell it for, in a non-kosher butcher store. So therefore, Talmud Lomar, ubal hashor noki, it ends off not only Sokoy Skela Shor, Lo Yachel is Bisaro, and then it says, Ubal Hashor Noki. It tells us that the owner of the animal is cleaned out. Okay? Ubal Hashor Noki means that the owner is left with zero benefit in this animal. Where it says, how do we know that the word Uval Hashor Naki means that? My mashma. So Shimon ben Zoma tells us that this is like Adam Shomel Chaver. It's like a person says to his friend, Yotze Ish Ploni Naki Minachosa. This person got cleaned out. The expression in English, cleaned out, is the same expression. This person was cleaned out from his possessions. The Ein Lo Behem Hanor Shel Klum. And that means, bottom line is, not only can you not eat it, even though you shechted it, but you can't get any Hanor from it. You can't feed it to your dog. You can't even use the hide, as we'll see, as we'll darshan out further. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "Umimai." How do we know that the words "the lo yechel es v'saro" means that lehecho deshochatu achar shenigmar dino? That if you went and shechted it after the basin paskin, that this is a shor niskal and has to be taken out for skila, how do we know that if you shafted the den shasa b'achila, that it's also b'achila, this drasha that we just gave us, how do we know that that's true? Ema, maybe say, the shachat ol yachashnik madino, in fact, shari b'achilahu, maybe, in fact, this is a smart thing that this person did. He quickly shafted his animal, the shor that is destined to be a shor haniskal, he quickly shafted it, and it's actually good to be able to be eaten. Aye, then what do you use the pasuk lo yachas b'saro? Aye, lo yachas b'saro, ni need lehecha the sakle miskal. That's when they did skila on it, and it teaches us the words lo yachas b'saro comes to teach us that, granted, of course, it's a novella and you can't eat it, but the word lo yachas b'saro means the also bihanahu kid Rabbi Avo. And this goes in accord with the drasha that Rabbi Avo told us elsewhere, which we'll now see. So maybe, in fact, it's novella, so I don't need a pasuk to tell me I can't eat it. But the words lo yechaz b'saro comes to teach me the osur b'hanahu, like Rabbi Avo taught. What did Rabbi Avo teach? Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Avo said, "Name Rabbi Elazar." Call Malkum Shenemar. Any place in Torah where it uses the lashonos of lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu, these lashonos come to teach us not only an isur of achila, echad isur achila, however, but also the echad isur anah b'mashma. These buzzwords lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu, anything like that is a buzzword to teach us that it's not only also bi'achila, but it's also also bi'anah. Unless, actually, important chakosav, unless the Torah specifically specifies kederech shapera l'chob b'nevela, just like it's specified by nevela, where it says leger b'nesina ulovi kochav b'mechira, that you go and give it to a ger toshav, you're allowed to give it to him, this nevela, or you can sell it to an ovi kochavim. So the Torah gave you permission in this case to get anah. So therefore, if the Torah specifies that you can get hanor, so then you're allowed to get hanor from it. But otherwise, the words lo yeyachel, or the buzzword lo socha, lo sochlu, anything like that, comes to teach us an isur hanor. So therefore, when the pasuk says over here, lo yechaz b'saro, it doesn't mean that you can't shecht it, and then it would be perfectly kosher to eat. No, it means that if it is an avela, you're not allowed to get hanor from it. So Gemara says, wait a second, then Amre, so then that works out great. Hani mili hecho denofik le isur achila v'isur hanor, mikra mi lo yochal. That's when it uses the pasuk lo yochal to teach us this isur hanor. Avo hocha, here, the isur achila, we already know, misako yisakel nafka. That's when you don't know that it's also to be eaten. So here, you already know it's also to be eaten because it's in a vela, because you didn't shecht it. So therefore, if you're going to tell me the words lo yochal come to teach us a din of hanah only and not a din of achila, so yikoso kedai techai lo yechaz b'saro is just isur hanahu, then it shouldn't have used this unusual lashon of lo yochal, because I already know I can't eat it. Normally lo yochal means you can't eat it as well as you can't get hanah from it, but here I know I already can't eat it. So nichtav b'pana lo yaneh. Why did the Torah say that in this situation lo yaneh, the baal doesn't get hanah from it? Therefore, even according to this interpretation of Rabbi Avo, so therefore, you need the psukim here to teach us that even though you shechted it, there still is an isser of hana over here. So this comes to apply even though you shechted it. Now, inami, alternatively, you could say, yes, lo yechel means that you wouldn't be allowed to go and eat it. However, es besaro, lomeli, those words seem to be extra. So therefore, the words es besaro, lomeli, that comes to teach me the avogad, the avde kein basar, the shachte, even though you shechted it, nevertheless, it's still going to be asr. So even if you want to hold like Rabbi Avo, it still is going to be here that if you went and shechted the animal after basing pasuk that's a shor niskal, you still can't get any hanah from it, even though you shechted it. You can't eat it, and you can't get hanah from it. Maskevah Mazutra, Mazutra questions over here, and he says, Emo hanimili, maybe that this din only applies in the following situation. And we turn to Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Maybe it only applies Hecho de Bodak Tsar V'Shachapo. You know what we're talking about over here? They gave the animal skila. And when they did the skila, they looked at the rock that they were throwing at it. As Rashi says, Dahainu Ke'ain Skila Ba'avonim. It's like they killed it with Avonim, but they used a very sharp stone and they shechted it with this sharp stone. So they did the skila, but in fact, the Abde Ke'ain Skila, but it's not an Avela. But avahecho de shachte v'sakid lo. But if you in fact went and did shchita, so then you would be allowed to go and eat it. So it's only if you did it via skila that it says lo yechel. But if you did it via regular shchita, then you would be allowed to eat it. Maybe that's the right understanding. Someone says no, that doesn't make any sense. Amrei atu sakin k'siva b'oraisa. Does the Torah tell us that shchita has to be done with a knife? No, shchita can be done with any sharp implement. But not as we learn in the Mishnah. in Chulin, it tells us Hashochet b'magal yad. If you go and shecht an animal with a magal yad, that's like a scythe. So, or you go and shecht it b'tzur with a sharp stone, or b'kano, a very sharp reed. Shechita sukshera. It's a perfectly valid shechita. The Torah doesn't require a sakinu. We, when we have all the hilchos shechita, so we say it has to be a very sharp knife. It has to be checked regularly, make sure it doesn't have any nicks, etc., etc. So we have a lot of dinim that are midir rabbanim, midir araisa. One can shecht with any sharp implement that is able to do a proper shechita. So therefore, you can't tell me that the Torah is distinguishing over here between a sharp stone and a sharp knife. If you shecht with a sharp stone, it's no good because Sakoi Sakel says lo yachel. But a sharp knife, you would be allowed to eat it. No, that's not a good teretz. So Gemara says, now, v'hashto dinavkele isra achilu v'isra noa milo yachel. So according to the way Rabbi Avo learned it out, that we learn now the words lo yachel is v'sarot to come to teach us that there's an isra achila and an isra noa over here. So then, once I already now know that there's an Isra Anah, so then, according to the original understanding, it was the Baal HaShor Naki to tell me that not only can't I go and eat it, even if I shechted it, but Baal HaShor Naki, you're cleaned out. That taught me the Isra Anah, according to the first version, but if you learn like Rabbi Avo, normally, then what words Baal HaShor Naki come to teach us? So the Gemara answers, that teaches us Lahanoas Oro. So those words are necessary, according to Rabbi Avol, to teach us that not only don't you get any Hanoah from the Basar, but you also can't get any Hanoah from the hide itself, Lahanoas Oro. Because the Salkadai Techamina, I would have said on my own, Bisaru Hudi Asu Banoah. It's only the Basar that's normally Asu Banoah. However, Avol Oro, Nishtre Banoah, but I would have said that the hide is actually allowed to get benefit from, so that's what I would have said. Therefore, Kamash Balan, according to this understanding, the words Bala Sharnaki come to teach us that you don't get Hana from the hide as well. Okay, Gemara says, according to the first understanding, so how do they know that? They use it for the other purpose that we said, that you need to know that it's an Isra Hana over here, so that tells me an Isra Hana on the Basar. Come on, as we'll say in a moment, and we'll see this drasha coming up. So Hanoah is Oro Minalu. So how did they know the Hanoah of the Or, that that's Osir? So they learned it out from the next word, Nafkalu me es bisaro. It says, the lo yechel es bisaro. So the extra S comes to be marbe es hatofel bisaro, something that is subordinate to the flesh, and that is my nihu. What is that? Oro, that is the heart. Okay, so therefore, this drasha that will need the word S, that's where they learn it out from. No, why doesn't the other man, the Yomer, learn out from the word S? Vaitana S, why doesn't he learn it out? Little Darish, he doesn't Darish the Essen. And this is a very famous Gemara that we now have in a number of places. Kiditanya, as we learn the following braisa, the Shimon Hamsuni was one of the great Tanoim. Others say it was Amalei, it was Nechemia Hamsuni, it was either Shimon or Nechemia who spent all of his time learning how to dash in the S in the Torah. Hayadorish called S in the Torah. It was his lifelong work that he dashed in every S in the Torah. However, Kivan Shigia, when he reached the Pasuk, Le'etz, Hashem Lokecha Tira, he reached that Pasuk, you should also have someone else in mind that you have to fear besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Pirash, he separated from his whole drasha system, and he said it's impossible that there should be anybody else in the world that you should have yira for in a manner similar to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, my entire system of darshini the Essen is wrong because I can't darshini this pasuk es Hashem Lokecha Tira. And the greatness of this, either Shimon or Nachman Hamsoni, was that he was willing to give up his lifelong work. He'd spent all his years putting together this beautiful sefer, and now he was willing to retract it. The Torah is emes. Just because you can fool people and get away with something, that's not emes. You know a pshat, and then you realize there's a mistake in your pshat, so nobody else realizes a mistake. You don't give that pshat. You don't say, well, this is the way to understand this. If you know it's wrong, then it's wrong. Just the fact that nobody else knows it's wrong is not going to change around that it's wrong. So he stopped darshaning this essence, his entire life work. That's the greatness of the Shimon HaMasoni. In any event, so his Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, what's going on? I'm a little Talmidim, Rebbe, call Essen Shudarash, the Matel, you've been learning for 20 years all the Essen in the Torah. Did you do Bittul Torah during that time? Is that considered now null and void? So he tells him a very important idea. Amalham, Kishem Shekibalti Schar Adrisha, just like I spent all this time learning that and getting Schar for all the time I spent learning, Kach Kibalti Schar Adrisha. I get same as Schar for saying, no, that's not correct. Person learns Pshat, learns Pshat, learns Pshat, thinks he understands, and then it turns out that he was wrong. And the entire shiur that he gave, I remember once hearing one of my Rebbeim tell me, I think it was about the Rav Zatzal, So he once gave a shiur. The next day he came back and said, everything I told you boys yesterday was wrong. And he said, explain why it was wrong. So what? The shiur yesterday didn't count? Everybody got built in Torah yesterday? No. Chas v'shalom. That's the wonderful thing about Torah, that if you're steiging away, you're trying to learn, even though you don't get b'shat, right? Sometimes you listen to the Daf Yomi, you listen to Hoshia, and you say afterwards, I don't understand it. So you get tremendous amount of credit for trying to understand it. So he says, Kaki about the Schala Prisha. I made a mistake. I now leave everything that I learned, and I get scarred for leaving it, just like I get scarred if I publish my Sefer. However, along comes Rabbi Akiva. Actually, Rabbi Akiva. Why would Daf Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Akiva was famous when he was in Amma Aretz, the Mefarshim explained. The Shomit Zion Ba'alocha brings down. Rabbi Akiva was famous when he was in Amma Aretz, the first 40 years of his life, that he didn't like the Talmidei Chachamim. What exactly that means, we'll leave for another time. But he wasn't a big fan of the Talmidei Chachamim. He felt, according to some, that they treated the Amoratzim disparagingly, inappropriately. In any event, so he wasn't a big fan of the Talmidei Chachamim. So he Bedavka is the one that comes along to say that the S is going to mean you also have to have tremendous kavod and yira for Talmidei Chachamim. So it's very appropriate. The Rabbi Akiva was one that did this. Shomit Zonim Ba'alocha also brings down that Nebuch, it was Rabbi Akiva, whose Talmidim didn't show respect one for the other. And Nebuch, the 24,000 Talmidim, the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, that died during the Sefira period of time. So Bedavka, he is the one that constantly taught this idea that you have to have tremendous covered in Yira for other Talmidei Chachamim, and Nebuch, they didn't listen to his own drush of Rabbi Akiva the Rebbe. In any event, so Rabbi Akiva comes along, actually Rabbi Akiva, the Levite, said, no, Shimon, I'm Sunni, you're doing everything right. You're 100% correct. There is a drush over here. That is what the S in that pasuk comes to teach us. Okay. Now the Gemara says, we said, Ubala Shornoki, we darshan now a different way, Ubala Shornoki. So Rabbi Lezer Omer, Noki mechatzi kofer. It means that he doesn't have to pay the chatzi kofer. That is the din, according to Rabbi Lezer, of Ubala Shornoki. So Rabbi Kiva tells him, Falu Atzmo, Ein Mishtali Melamigufo. He says, wait a second, the whole short time, any damage to the chatzi desert that you pay, you go and pay from the guf of the animal. But this guf of the animal is worthless because hashar yisokel. So therefore, why would you need a pasuk to tell me that it's pata from chatzi kofra? Here's the body, but the body is also vanah, so you can't go get anything from it. Haveil based in vishalim l'cha doesn't apply in this situation. So how could that possibly be the right drasha? So I'm Lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, I am correct. Do you really think of me? So Lo Rabbi Akiva, Kach Ani Beinecha, Shedini Bazeh, Shechayiv Misa? Do you really think I'm talking here about a short time that was Chayiv Skila? And that's why I say Gubala Shornaki in this situation? No, that can't be. As you said, there would be no Hava meaning to think that you would go and pay Chatzi Kofer from the goof of that animal, because it's worthless. So what is the case? Ein Dini, I only said my din over here that is brought down the name Rabbi Elazar, that Noki Bichatzi Kofar, I only said that, Ein Dini Ella Kishahemis and Sa'odim Apiedecha. There only was one witness, and that's why it's not a Shor Niskal. We don't go and kill the Shor Tam. There was only one witness. Oh, Api Balam. Or the Balam admitted, hey, listen, I'm so sorry, my animal killed your animal. In that situation, it's not a Shor Niskal. You only do Shor Niskal if it's a two witnesses that say that it killed, and therefore, in this situation, the goof of the Tam is there. So along comes Rabbi Eliezer to say, Ubala Sharnaki is coming to teach us that there is no din of Chatzi Kofer by a Tam. That's the drasha, really, of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, but in the case that you just gave us, Api Balim, Moda B'Knasu. If the Balim are Moda, so then there is no Kofer because this is the case of Knas. The Kofer is a Knas. According to the opinion, it says Kofer is a Knas. So then, of course, there is no Knas in this situation, because a modem Knas is potter. So therefore, why would he need the drasha, Ubala Sharnaki, if you're telling me that it's a Knas, and therefore if he's modem in your scenario, that's why they don't kill it. Well, that's why there's no Knas. So the Gemara says, Ksavar Kufra Kapara. Oh, no, Rabbi Eliezer must hold that the Kofra is in fact a Kapara, it's an atonement, and therefore, if you're modem on it, you would have to go pay. That's why you need the pasuk to tell me that by a tam, there is no concept of Chatzi Kofra. Ah, that's teretz number one. However, in a second teretz, Tanya Idach, the Brisa gives a different response that Rabbi Eliezer gives to Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, he calls him Akiva, they were colleagues. He was his Rebbe of Akiva. So Akiva, kach ani beinecha, you really think so little of me, shedini bezesh chai visa, that you think I'm talking about a short tam that would be a niskal, and therefore you tam pays me gufo, and the guf is worth nothing. So do you really think that's what I was talking about? No. Ain't dini, I only said my din, that there's no din of chatzi kofer, elib miskavi lahagros a behema, parks adam. Well, the animal intended to go and kill another behema, so its intentions are what count, and even though it killed an adam, it's not held accountable, it's not a shor niskal in that situation. nation, or it intended to go kill a guy, the Mitzri, for Yisrael, and kill the Yisrael, which, again, would not require this animal to be Niskal, or Linefalim, it went to go and kill Nebuch, a non-viable person, a baby Nebuch that was born prematurely and doesn't have a chance to be viable, but instead of killing that baby, which is what it tended to do, Farag ben Kayama, and went and killed Nebuch, a little baby that was right next to it and that was going to survive. So in all of these situations, the Kavana of the Shor, it was trying to go and kill this one, but it went and killed that one. So the one that it tried to kill, it wouldn't have been a Shor Niskal for, and it went and killed the other person, so therefore, it does have the din of Kofar if it had been a Shor Mu'ad. So that's why Rebbe Elazar is saying, in this situation, since it's only a Tam, there is no din of Chatzi Kofar. That was the Chiddush of Rebbe Elazar. Now, this second teretz, the Gemara has no questions on. The first teretz we had, if you say that it's a knas, so then we got a problem. Modiv knas is potter. So the first teretz we had Shilas on, and we had to go and give an answer. Docha teretz that he must be talking about, that Rebbe Elazar holds that Shavar Kufra Kapara. The second teretz that we gave, there was zero shilas on. This was an absolutely, you know, rock solid teretz. So Gemara says, hey, Amar Le Bereisha, which one did he in fact say first? We had the two opinions, the Tanya of the first Brisa, the Tanya Rabbanan, and then Tanya Ida, the second Brisa. So we're not saying that one is correct and one is not correct. We're saying both of them are correct. So he said both of these two tributes him. He had the first teretz, and then he had the second teretz. Then which one actually was the first teretz, and which one was actually the second teretz? Hey, I'm a Lareisha. So we have two different opinions over here. Rav Kahana, in the name of Rava, Mishmei the Rava, says, Omar, Miskavein, Omar Lareisha. It was the second teretz that had no questions on it that was actually said first, and then he said the first teretz, which there was a question on it. Rav Tuv Yumi Mishmei the Rava said the exact opposite. They're both saying the name of Rava. Rav Kahana said it was the second brisa that came first, and then the first brisa. And Rav Tuv Yumi said the other way around. It was the first brisa that we have listed that came first, that had the questions on it, and then he gave the second brisa, the second teretz, that had no questions on it. So Rav Tuv Yumi Mishmei the Rava Amar, that Hamis Amar Liberation. It was the first scenarios that, in fact, he gave first, and then the second scenario. Okay, now, what's the nafkamina? So the Mefarshim bring down, the nafkamina would be, if you give me the second teretz, that replaces the first teretz. If the second teretz, which we had no questions on, so that's a retraction then of the first teretz. So the nafkamina would be, if it was the scenario of the first teretz, that he said there was either moda by the Baalim, or there was only single witnesses, so he retracts it and say, in that situation, there is a chatzi kofar. Whereas if you just give the second teretz, so then it's only the second teretz scenario that applies, there's no chatzi kofar. But it would apply that in the first teretz, there would be a chatzi kofar payment, because he retracted that. If you say it the other way around, no, he gave the second teretz first, and then he gave an additional first teretz, so then he's not retracting the first teretz, he's just saying, here's another example. So that would be the nafkamina. In any event, the Gemara now says, Rav Kahana Mishmei the Rava, the first opinion that we brought down, and it says that the Miskavin was the one that he said first. So according to that opinion, so what is that like? Rav Kahana Mishmei the Rava, Amar Miskavin, Amar Liberesha, that's Moshel, that's analogous to the case, Litzayid, a fisherman who's trapping with nets, Shesholu Dogim in Ayami, he's pulling out fish from the sea via nets, and we turn to Membezim and Aleph. And he first gets Mishkach Ravruvei. So he first finds large fish, and he keeps them, Shokel, and he takes them. No, he casts them again, and Zutri Shokel. Now he gets smaller fish. No, he takes the smaller fish too. As Rashi says, he's happy with all the fish that he can possibly get. So Bereisha Shokel, who? Because the Mishkach Zutri Shokel, he's happy as well, Hokanami. Afagav the Rai Gedola, Amalei Bereisha. You know, he gave the perfectly good second Raisa first, that Terence had no questions on it. Nevertheless, he heard the Mishkach Rai Zutrasi. He then found another scenario that could also give you an answer. Amruk Ne'elet. He said that one as well. So that would be Rav Kahana's understanding of Rava. Whereas Rav Tavyumi Mishmei the Rava gives the following analogy. Amar Hamis, Amar Liberation. He gave the first Raisa first, which had some questions on it, and only then did he give the second Raisa. That would be like Marshal Litzayed, Shisholu Dog Ben Yam. This is like the fisherman that's going and trapping fish with a net from the ocean. So, Mashkach Zutre Shok. Okay, if he pulls in some smaller fish, he'll take the smaller fish, and he puts them into his container, his chest, to take home. However, then Mishkach Rari, then he finds a big tuna. Oh, now there's no room in the chest for the big fish and the little fish, so Shade Zutre, he throws away the smaller fish, he throws it back into the water. Vishaku Ravavi, and he puts in the large fish over there, because that's the one that he's keeping, so to say, the original teretz that he had, he's throwing away, he's retracting it. That's why I said that's the nafkamina. According to Rav Tumumi, he's retracting his first scenario. And according to Rav Kahana, no, he accepts both of these scenarios as perfectly good terutzim. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.